You're listening to Two Guys, One Album with music insiders Michael Heidemann and Paul Farva.
We are two music experts.
I mean, experts is pushing it.
Taking on the greatest albums of all time.
It's a little subjective.
Song by song with careful analysis.
All right, I wouldn't say careful. Look, we're having fun with the songs.
Two Guys,
One Album. Is this a Mary Poppins movie?
I'm a bit confused and intrigued.
Is this your British? There it is. I know what we're doing here.
What's going on, Paul? Where are we?
Sounds like it's time for Two Guys,
One Album.
My name is Paul Farivar.
And this is Michael Heidemann.
We are going to go through what is many considered one of the greatest albums of all time. I don't know if we're going to agree or not, but we are the Music Insiders, as you heard up top, and we're going to go through this album, Pink Floyd, The Wall. Pink Floyd, The Wall. I've heard about these guys. They were pretty big.
Yeah, I remember them being their name tossed around a little bit when I was growing up, and this album especially is one of their most popular albums. We thought that we'd dive into this one. Little did we know that we didn't have a lot of time, and this song has about 1,400 tracks on it. So
this album is a very long album. It's our first double album. We haven't done a double album before, and we're going to go through it. I do want to say all our episodes go 30 minutes. This one might go 32 minutes because it's a double length. We're going to add 2 minutes.
That's all you're going to add?
Yeah, we're going to be fine. And I got to say, people have been writing about our episodes. We are insiders. We'd love to hear from you. If you think we got something wrong or if you got to add something, we're going to do episodes where we talk to you and hear from you. It's twoguysonealbum@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Hit us up and we may talk about you on the air.
Yeah, we have a listener episode coming up. We can't wait to get posted. And just for all those new listeners who are out there right now listening to the first episode, their first episode of Two Guys, One Album, we are two music experts. We dissect an album song by song with careful analysis.
Careful.
Very careful. And we never look at Wikipedia. This is all top of the dome.
Top of the dome. Everything we get is our knowledge. First song on this album, Michael, is called In the Flesh.
In the Flesh. 3 minutes and 16 seconds. It's not too bad.
You know, I kind of remember it now.
It sets the stage for a very, very long and treacherous journey that Pink Floyd often finds with their albums. A lot of them were, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Dark and gloomy.
Conceptual.
Yeah, well, this was released in November of 1979. This was also part of The Wall, the movie that was created based on this, as you say, concept. Mm-hmm. This was kind of the soundtrack to that album, if you will.
I said let's dive into the second one.
Yeah, that song was okay. The next song is called The Thin Ice.
That song was okay. It was just the guy screaming into the darkness.
It's an intro. A lot of these songs are just like fillers for the movie.
You know, I love the fact that they did that because I was going to save this till the end, but they did do that whole Wizard of Oz thing where if you started at song number so-and-so, it syncs up perfectly with the Wizard of Oz where the house drops on the witch and then you can do that.
This was a soundtrack to the movie. This wasn't some guy who was on shrooms that came up with this. They did this intentionally.
But I'm making the point that this band, I think, often looked ahead to, you know, make their music something a little bit different. This was also the time when a lot of bands went around the folklore of if you spin this album backwards, you can hear the devil or something like that. So it was a lot of these different aspects of albums that you don't really see today. Post Malone isn't going to do the old spin my CD backwards, but...
Well, the movie came out 3 years later. Bob Geldof played Pink, who's this Pink Floyd character. But the album was released in 79, sold 1.2 million copies in like weeks, the first few weeks. And this was like the long-awaited thing. And, you know, kind of like their swan song in a way, because after this, Roger Waters and David Gilmour separated. Obviously, Syd Barrett, who was a part of this band early on, lost his mind. And, you know, they talk about that in a different album, Shine On You Crazy Diamond. And that's all information I retained when I liked this band. I will say this. Not a fan of this band, and we're going to listen to this and see if it changes my mind. And I think this song is not changing my mind at all.
I mean, right from the get-go, you can't deny their musicianship, the way that they kind of just dive right in with these heavy guitar solos. I love the crunchy pedal noise that you get from these amplifiers. They knew how to create a great rock sound, and that's what they're doing with
this song. Yeah, they're a rock band. That makes sense. But whatever. The next song is Another Brick in the Wall, Part 1. Not the hit version that everyone knows. That's Part 2, which we'll get to. But this is just kind of like the prequel. Same parts, same catchy hooks.
Same bricks, maybe, Paul?
I mean, it's still kind of cool that they do this.
Yeah, actually, full disclosure, never heard this album all the way through. This is my first time going through this journey with you, Paul. I'm glad we could both take this journey together. But it's interesting because I've heard these songs and I've heard the folklore about Pink Floyd for so long. And I want to know what the whole jazz is all about. What's their special sauce?
Yeah, I don't get it. I never bought in. My uncle was a huge, huge fan of Pink Floyd, and I have a lot of friends who were. One of my best friends was a huge fan of Pink Floyd. I just never got into it. I mean, this is my album we're listening to, and I probably have listened through it all the way through twice, once by mistake. It was just in the background when I was engaging in some activities that are probably not good for me.
Mm-hmm. You know, Pink Floyd's, their concerts were actually always a multimedia event.
Yes.
Like, so they always focused on the art aspect of their music. And as of 1966, the group's live performances incorporated film. They were projected on a backdrop and onto the band themselves. So these guys knew what they were doing. We're short on time, though, so we're going to dive a little bit into this next song. Sorry for all those Pink Floyd fans who want to hear these songs all the way through. Here's song number 4. The Happiest Days of Our Lives.
I think this is still
No, actually,
oh, it just fades. Yeah, this they is do the fades.
That's the Pink Floyd thing.
The helicopter, yeah, that's right.
Because you're listening to this album, they don't want you to skip songs.
That's right. Feels like I'm in the movie Platoon.
Ooh.
Is this still 3?
This is song number 4.
This Happiest Days of Our Lives?
Happiest Days of Our Lives.
Oh, so this is all the super intro to Another Brick in the Wall. So that's kind of funny. They kind of did that. I forgot. Because number 5 is actually Another Brick in the Wall, but that's the 4-minute version that they did for radio. But this whole thing, Another Brick in the Wall Part 1, Happiest Days of Our Lives, all that is really intros to the song. Think about it, because I mean, you'll tell once we get to that point.
You know, after we're going to dive right into that fifth song, real quick.
Which is the song.
After and
see,
here we go.
Yeah. It just starts right with the hit, and that's what they did to. You know, it's funny they made it 3 minutes and 59 seconds because radio back then was like all songs had to be under 4 minutes, and that's how they cut it.
Mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's like their FU to the radio.
Yeah, I love that it was the case back then, because I just got done watching that Bohemian Rhapsody film, and if you're listening to this far into the future, there was a music documentary, not a documentary, but a music film that came out in 2018 with Queen's background.
Freddie Mercury, yeah.
Freddie Mercury, and there's this big famous scene where they go into the guy's office with Bohemian Rhapsody, and the guy's like, there's no way that a song that's 6 minutes long will play on the radio. Ended up being one of the most famous songs of all time, hence this song by Pink Floyd, Another
Brick in
the Wall.
Well, this is, if you put together Another Brick in the Wall Part 1, Happiest Days of Our Lives, and Another Brick in the Wall Part 2, which was the hit part, you're talking about a 10-minute song, essentially. I'm not very good at math, but no, it would be about 9 minutes 46 seconds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway, everyone knows this song. It's a great song. It's iconic. It's typical, one of the top songs you think about with Pink Floyd, but still, if this comes on the radio, I don't turn it on. I switch the station. I'm like, hey, I'm going to listen to WGN Radio, see what's going on.
It was, you know, revolutionary for its time. It's the first time you hear a children's chorus that isn't singing about gleefully through the meadows or something like that.
It's a dark fucking song.
We don't need no education. This is song number 6.
Mother, also a very popular song.
Brother, do you think they'll like this song?
No. I'm kidding. This was a great song.
You know,
go ahead.
I was going to say, you can hear the experimentation of the 1970s kind of feel when you're double tracking the vocals and you're putting two different types of vocals on, the clean vocal and the through the stereo affected vocals to make this kind of weird tone.
Yeah, they definitely doubled up on the vocals. I just remember that part with the mother, do you think they'll try to break my balls? When I was a kid, that was like my favorite song just because of that. He's saying balls. And I would be like, my mom would listen to me listening to it, and she didn't know that they were saying balls.
With those deep, thick,
that was the
English
funniest
accents.
Part. Yeah. We missed it because we were talking over it, but that's fine. So the next song.
Wait, we missed it?
Yeah, you were talking. I didn't want to interrupt your story.
Oh, hang on a sec. Let's go back a few minutes.
My balls.
There it is.
Thank you very much.
How'd you know exactly where it was?
That's just the power of the podcast. It's track number 7. Here we go.
Goodbye, Blue Sky. Very cool song. I do remember liking this as a kid, but also so effing dark.
You know, I love the incorporation of these different sound effects, this atmospheric sound effects. It goes perfectly with their film.
You like it? See, I do. I think it's a waste.
Yes, Mommy, there's no plane up in the sky.
Dark.
Yeah, it's just like a surreal feeling, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to hear a soundtrack of a movie while I'm listening to music.
Do you think that they went in with the intention of one day being the favorite album of stoners across the planet?
Like, well, back then, everybody was stoned.
Yes.
And that's the thing, for me, when I stopped smoking pot, a lot of the music I listened to when I was high doesn't hold up. Like, I was a huge Deadhead, mm-hmm. but then I stopped smoking pot. I'm like, what is this? I can't listen to this anymore.
That's what happens when
I just offended everybody. Same with Fish, by the way. I would say that we'll cover Fish when we cover Fish album.
Shots fired.
That's right. You heard it.
What about Grateful Dead?
I was a closet Deadhead, mm-hmm. and when I stopped smoking pot, I was like, I don't get this anymore.
You're telling me I have a story to tell you after the podcast. Anyway, a quick side note about The Wall. Roger Waters actually fired Richard Wright during the sessions for 1979's The Wall, but then brought him back as a contract labor sideman for the subsequent money-losing tour. So they were losing money on this album.
They put so much into their concerts. They had an inflatable pig. Simpsons used to make fun of them at their concerts.
Like, I remember that episode.
That's the Pink Floyd, because they would do all this shit in their concerts. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you're losing money. Like, it's okay. It's not about the money. But it was about the money.
Well, obviously it was. So they brought him back. That made Wright the only member of Pink Floyd not to lose money on the tour. So he actually came out okay.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't be a full member again until 1994's The Division Bell. Good for you, Richard White, right? Stand up for what you believe. You
should start a band with Ahmed Wallace. What's the next?
That'd be the greatest supergroup of all time.
What's the next song we got here?
It's song number 8, Empty Spaces.
I don't even remember this now. I bet you this is one of those. You know, Kanye West had like skits. These guys have like these cerebral like landscape or ambient songs.
It's just a bunch of birds.
It's just a bunch of
minutes.
Yeah.
Well, we often talk. I bring this story up in like every third podcast or every album that we do, but there was a time when, by folklore legend, Pink Floyd spent hours upon hours upon hours with their producer trying to make an album of just kitchen utensils, and the producer gave up and nearly lost his mind when they were flicking a rubber band to get the right tone for like 12 hours, and he's like, I'm done with this. This is not gonna work. Album never came out. Pink Floyd disbanded. The pig got deflated. It was the worst outcome for them.
I thought that story was going to start with, for years they've been trying to work with Kanye West. But no. Yeah, this is just one of those time fillers. Let's go to the real song.
Song number 9.
Young Lust. This was another song that was radio friendly.
I'm feeling it.
I can't get into it. It's like prog rock gone wrong. I just didn't like the vocals. I feel the songs. Here's my problem with Pink Floyd. Songs are too dark, too many guitar solos, and their keyboardist slept with my ex-girlfriend. So I've got a lot of problems.
Is that true?
Them. That's a true story.
No way.
Roger Waters, keyboardist, slept with my ex-girlfriend. That's 20 years after this album. But so what? I'm going to hold a grudge? No. I'm just throwing that out there because in the interest of full disclosure.
So I have a little bit of tidbit of info. A little bit of tidbit. That's what I like to say. That bit of gibberish that I just spoke and the gibberish just before the lyrics that began on the wall's empty spaces, the song that we just heard, is actually a backward mask dialogue that states, "Congratulations." And we, Paul, just have discovered the secret message.
Well, that was a song before Young Lust, yep.
All right. Young Lust is my favorite so far because it just pops right
into
it.
That was a hit. That was their hit after Another Brick in the Walls. One of my turns. This is another one of those skit things, I think. And if you notice,
so
when you're
weird,
they made these songs so you listen to them with headphones because we have headphones right now. You could see that it's going from one side to the other.
Yeah, bouncing back and forth.
They were again one of those things where you have to be high to appreciate.
Ahead of the game.
It's like a conversation that this person is having.
Oh man, I'd be tripping.
But the intro is like 3 minutes long until we get to the next song. I mean, come on.
Which is?
Don't Leave Me Now.
Don't Leave Me Now.
I'm sorry, we're going to have to leave you. Let's go to the song. This is just all intro bullshit. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We're equal opportunists.
We were talking about this before we even started this episode, and we said this might be our most controversial episode. And right from the get-go, I think it might be, because we just start.
And not holding a grudge. I know you guys are all going to say, oh, you just, because you're mad. I'm not mad.
You're just bitter, Paul. You would have loved Pink Floyd if you were from the 70s. Here we go. Another Brick in the Wall.
Oh, did we do?
Three.
Did we do Don't Leave Me Now? That was it?
Yeah.
So there was two back-to-back fillers?
I'm not sure if Don't Leave Me Now was actually a filler song. We just cut it in the first 15 seconds.
Well, one of my turns was. But anyway, this is the same song. It's just the outro in a way.
Are you ready to dive into Goodbye?
Did we really?
World.
Did we do One of My Turns and Don't Leave Me Now? So, go back and let's check. Did we do 10?
Right.
We're nothing if we're not accurate on this show.
This is Don't Leave Me Now, song number 11.
Yeah, we did this one.
You know what? I'm going to dive right into the middle of it just so you guys
make sure. Yeah, this is filler garbage.
That's why we skipped it.
I know, but did we do Don't Leave Me Now?
This is Don't Leave Me Now. This is a song.
But what about
11.
One of My Turns?
One of My Turns
was number 10.
Number 10, and this is One of My Turns.
Oh, yeah, this is all filler.
Why are we wasting time with this nonsense?
I just want to make sure. Okay, Goodbye Cruel World is number 13. Would you
like to see me try? So that was One of My Turns. That's how it ends.
Yeah, this is all the fucking filler. All right, Goodbye Cruel World is a 48-second song to close out the first album or first disc of this double disc.
Yeah, this is...
It's 48 seconds.
They make you work for loving this album. They make you work for it.
And it's funny because this is almost like an intro to the first song on the next album or the next CD, which is Hey You, which is also a famous song of theirs.
So you said this one was filler too?
This is 48 seconds of filler nonsense.
We got to just groove on it for a second, Paul. Yeah.
I mean, how can you listen to this shit? And you know what? If you were high and you started listening to this and you were in a good mood, this would put you in a bad mood.
I just
don't get it.
I'm mainly upset that this whole album was disc number one of The Wall was just filler. There were about three songs on this album.
Three songs.
What's going on here?
And guess what? Guess what, Michael? There's going to be more. I know when we started this, you're like, we're going to do a two album. I was like, Michael, it's not really a two album cover because a lot of this shit is... We're covering a lot of skits. It's all it is. It's a bunch of skits.
And if you have heard our old episodes with Kanye West or any of
Lauryn Hill.
Lauryn Hill. Paul's not a big fan of skits, are you?
Listen, if I'm putting in music, I want to hear music. I don't want to hear you talking. You're not a comedian. You're not a fucking actor. Just do your music. I mean, I get it. If you want to act, I have no problem with it, but don't put it on the album. Mm-hmm. If you want to be funny, hey, that's what Twitter is for.
All right, disc number two. Here we start off with Hey You. Hey You!
That's the first line of the song.
I know. I remember hearing this one. I was in a Grateful Dead cover band when I was in high school, and I remember these guys would spin this album nonstop, and it would just give me the worst headache because I wanted to fit in so bad, but I don't think it was worth listening to this album more than once. And quote me on that. Listeners, twoguysonealbum@gmail.com. I'll stand by my statement. Or just prove us wrong. Hey you, out there in the cold, getting okay, this is a world famous song, but the transition of music that has happened since the 1970s, end of the 70s, going into 2018, has far surpassed what they've created with this album. I feel like I'm being mean now. I need you to shit on this album a little bit more, Paul.
I'm not shitting on it. Actually, I loved this song when I was younger, but it doesn't hold up for me. It's like I graduated from this kind of music. And I can't say that about a lot of music from the 70s, you know, or the 80s. The Police still holds up for me. I listen to The Police every time it comes on the radio. Led Zeppelin songs, Rolling Stones, even the Beatles. But like Pink Floyd, I skip this song when it's on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Out there on your own. All right, let's go to this next one really fast. Here's number two, flowing
which
in
is
from
still,
song number one.
Yeah, all their things like flow in because it's still the end of Hey You in a way.
Oh, this is anybody out there? Is that the first words of this song too?
Possibly. Yeah, see, it's just like an outro to the song. They're playing games with the radio company. This is still AU.
No, this is...
Is
this
there anybody
is
out there?
Two.
Yeah. So really, they just were lazy. They just were like, you know what? We're not going to cut a radio version. We'll cut the last verse of the album, of the song Hey You.
You know what it reminds me? This is song number three, by the
Nobody
way.
Home.
Nobody Home.
Again, a filler, I guarantee you.
And what I'm thinking is maybe they were really short on money and they're like, hey guys, we need to create this album, but we only have 4 hours. Yeah, we only have 4 hours of studio time, so we got to bang this out in just one take. So here we go.
That's not what happened.
Hey, are the birds ready? Are the chirping birds? How about
no,
the girl?
You're saying they planned that. I bet you they're like, hey, I got an idea. I hear birds outside. Let's just record it. Let's just put it on the album.
Is this just
like, hey, Roger, you're going to go take a shit? Bring this microphone. We might create some new sounds. Oh man, I just ruined this album for some people. Like we need some organic sounds. What can we do with organic? I'm tired of instruments.
I heard my girlfriend cough a few minutes ago. Let's get that on tape. Get it on tape.
And it's gonna be a different girlfriend than the one that Paul Farver was sleeping with 30 years later in the world. No, I'm just kidding.
They had it all planned out, just like this album. Here we
Nobody
go.
Home?
Song number four.
Vera.
Is this your girlfriend's name?
Vera. No,
is
that was
butter?
That was, you know what most common or the most popular Vera name was?
Aloe Vera.
No, Cheers, Norm's character. Norm, George Wendt's character, Norm on Cheers, his wife was named Vera.
That's right.
You,
okay,
you never see her in all the seasons of Cheers.
People might not know this. Paul's not only a comedian, not only a music insider, but he knows the most random stuff about...
80s sitcoms.
80s sitcoms. Cheers. And what's that other?
Webster.
Webster.
Love it. And now I'm onto Barney Miller. Holds up.
Holds up.
Vera is a 1 minute, 3:35 song, which is wasting all of our times. Let's skip this, Michael.
You know, what do you think?
There's not a real song coming up, to be honest with you, until Comfortably Numb. These are all fillers for their soundtrack movie that they were creating 3 years into the future.
How about Bring the Boys Back Home?
Again, 1 minute, they just took out the microphone out to the world. They're like, hey, I see an airplane coming. Let's get this on the album.
Does anybody here remember Vera Lynn?
It's just an intro to Comfortably Numb, which is the next song.
It is a beautiful idea, the way that they created this album. Let's go into it. Comfortably Numb.
Is this Comfortably? You skipped ahead.
I did. I skipped over number five, Bring the Boys Back Home, into Comfortably Numb.
That's not the beginning of...
That is it. As you know from the other tracks, it transitions into these songs.
That's so stupid.
They've got an idea behind these songs.
Well, let's listen to a little of it so people say, we don't, you guys don't play enough the music. All right, here, we'll play a few minutes. Seconds, not minutes.
Okay, this is my favorite song on the album. I'll keep this one on when it comes on the loop or XRT.
No, I skip this faster than you can say Comfortably Numb.
Comfortably Numb.
Not a fan of the song. I think I liked I'll be honest with you. I loved Another Brick in the Wall when I was a kid, and I liked this song I like, Mother, because they said balls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it. I don't know if Hey You is okay. But, like, seriously, this song doesn't hold up. And the thing is, the guitar work is great. But I would say the same thing about a lot of those Van Halen songs. They had great guitar solos, but I'm not listening to Right Here, Right Now anymore.
That's another good one. You know what, Paul? No matter what we say, the show just must go on. And that's the next song, song number 7.
Which is just an outro of Comfortably Numb. You know what all the stoners are saying right now? They're like, you know why you're doing it wrong? Is you're not, you just gotta let it flow.
Let it flow. Feel the vibe, man.
This is actually a cool song.
You know what? I actually like this song. The blending of voices almost is Eagle-esque. Like, when you were creating a lot of folk rock music from America, they must have been listening to some of those albums.
Yeah, but the Eagles songs...
Almost an ELO, Mr. Blue Side kind of feel to this song.
Yeah, but the Eagles and ELO had, like... They weren't minor chords. They were, like, happy songs. They were, like, poppy and, like... bubblegum pop fresh to them. These are like downers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's just the voice or the minor keys or what, but it's freaking bumming me out.
You guys can't see this, but Paul's smashing his fists onto the table right now.
And I've got a teardrop.
There's right. A dove floating
in the
by
flesh,
too.
Number 8. This is another one of those depressing songs.
Got a little Beach Boys thing going on there. I'm down with it. Okay, so...
If
we can give them anything, the guitar playing is phenomenal, and the blending of voices is obviously top quality. Not many bands can do it the way that Pink Floyd did it. But besides that, I am enjoying this song. Not much for the filler songs, but I do like this song.
So yeah, I do like this song.
Ooh,
it's like
great,
a vaudeville feel to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, great delay, great echo chamber on the vocals. To feel the warmth. But we don't got all day. We got to go to the next one.
No, that was fine. You got a lot of time.
Song number 9, Run Like Hell.
This is 9?
Yeah.
Oh, because it skips right. It's one of those blending things. We're pissing everybody off.
Everyone's just like, they're like, why did I even put this podcast on today?
If you made it this far, thank you. If you made it this far, message us at twoguysonealbum@gmail.com. We'll give you this album. I'm going to give you my original copy of this album.
You heard it here,
Paul,
folks.
Farivar. Message us, twoguysonealbum@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Rate review.
First person who writes back that they want this album, because I guarantee you I will never listen to this album again.
All right, they closed it out with, okay, so that's some good filler.
Oh, so this is going to go into Run Like Hell. Right?
Yes.
Number 9.
And here we go with
this. This is kind of a cool song. I remember this one.
This would be a cool song to see live. You can get that great pulsating beat. The drums are mixed perfectly in this song. Good job to their producer on this album.
You're saying good job to a producer who's like probably dead from all the cocaine he did after this album.
Also, he's like one of the most famous producers of all time. He's like, I'm glad that those guys from
those two guys from Chicago.
Really?
Kudos to them. Oh, those insiders?
I was having a shitty day until that guy said great job on the production with the drums. All right, let's dive into the next one real quick. Song number 10, Waiting for the Woman. I like the name of that song.
It's just the end of Run.
All right,
Run
Like
Hell.
I'm just going to skip to the...
I mean, that's all. I'm just saying they do that for all these songs. Is this Goodbye, Cruel World?
No, this is song number 10, Waiting for the Worms. Alright, so when I came into this album, I totally forgot how much voice blending they did and harmonies they used. I'm giving them extra points for this. I'm tailing it up in my head at the moment.
But I don't like the vocals. I think that's the problem I'm having, is I usually like good lyrics, good vocals. I do like the harmonies. Everyone loves harmonies, but it's like depressing what they did with them. It's like sad. It's almost like one of them speaking. It's not like a falsetto or anything like that.
Yeah, I could see that.
Why'd the music stop?
Oh, sorry. I should probably get this going. It's song number 11. It's called Stop. The music didn't stop.
It's 39 seconds. This is just filler. You can skip go to the trial, which is number 12.
So that was the end of the last song.
Stop.
But
it's not a song. It's 39 seconds of filler. It's not. We don't call it a song.
Paul knows a lot about this. It's the trial. He is a lawyer. He half wrote this song in the 1970s. Yeah, another throwback to the vaudeville. You got the like kind of the gypsy punk feel in this song.
I just hate it. Reminds me of work.
Let's dive into the final song here on the album. It's called Outside the Wall.
All right. This is just filler to close out the last 1 minute for it. You know what? I'm ready to vote on this thing.
You ready?
And you know what? This is probably one of our fastest podcasts because we were like worried about time. But honestly, we're like ahead of schedule because so many of these songs were filler. And yeah. Four of them were the same fucking song, just tricking us with part one, part two, part three, and then also the intro and outros that they did, which I understand was probably done to make them radio friendly. But mm-hmm. That being said, I still hold to my belief that Pink Floyd is overrated. One of my dear, dear friends who's no longer with us, Pink Floyd was his favorite band, and I always used to fight with him about it. I actually gave him my copy of Wish You Were Here, which, by the way, is a great song. There's a lot of great Pink Floyd songs out there. None of them, in my opinion, are on this album. And I don't like this album. I think it's overrated. I do appreciate what they've done for music and what this album did in terms of bringing prog rock, pop prog rock to the table.
Fair.
But it doesn't make me like this album anymore.
Tell us how you really feel, Paul, please.
I respect Pink Floyd. I just don't like their music or the album. I'm going to give this album, and again, our system is 11 likes is the most you can give on this episode or any of our episodes of Two Guys, One Album.
11 likes, because that is the Facebook standard of you stop seeing the names after the 11
yes,
likes.
Yes, that means you've made it.
You want to reach the 11, and you want to turn it up to 11, like most of these albums do. Not so much this one, but who knows? Who knows? I'm at the edge of my seat waiting to hear your rating, Paul.
This might be our lowest rated for me thus far. I'm going to give this 3 likes. I'm going to give it a top hat for the vaudeville, the top hat emoji, and also the pig emoji for their inflatable pigs, because they do put on great concerts, but their songs are depressing. They're sad. I think they're too long. There's not enough pop and hook to them for me to like, and I'm not bitter about the keyboardist, not at all. But I do not like this album, and the offer still stands for whoever wants this album. Original version. What's your rating, Michael?
This was an interesting album. I've never listened to it before. It was great to go through it. I was a little bit scared of the size of it because I thought we were going to be listening to it forever. But
told
damn,
you not to worry. Didn't
there
I?
There were so yes. You made me comfortably numb by the fact that there were so many gosh darn skits on this album. As you said before, you got to give them credit for what they've done for music. They're legends in their own time. They really brought in a whole new facet to what a conceptual album can become. How movies and music can be tied together. I'm sure to God that Meatloaf wouldn't be who he is if he didn't hear this album in the next.
Or Rush.
And the thing is, they were coming up at the same time, and I get it, and everyone was kind of working together. This was the feel of music in the 1970s, and I understand that, so that's why I'm giving them a higher score than I was originally going to give them. The harmonies are off the chain. The sweet melodies are fantastic. For the songs that they did have, I enjoyed. I enjoyed Comfortably Numb. I love the way that their guitars blend together. And for Pink Floyd's The Wall, I'm giving this album 4 3/4 a rating.
4 3/4 likes?
Oh, yes. Let me take that again. Well, first of all,
you can't give quarters because there's no quarter likes. You either give it a thumb. You can do a half thumb. You can do a lot of things, but likes are likes.
Don't tell me about my thumbs. I'm giving it 4 3/4 alike, and I'm standing by that. I'm giving it the music symbol, the choir singer, the wall symbol, of course, and much like you, Paul, I'm giving it the bacon for the pig that they shot
the
out in those Simpsons episodes.
All right, fair enough.
I think this was a good podcast, though.
Yeah, I think we did our part to, as music insiders, to give the opinions of an expert. I know people. There's a lot of people that are like, "Who's this Pink Floyd we keep hearing about?" Mm-hmm. Well, now we've told you who they are and what this album is. We'd love to hear your feedback, and I know if you're Pink Floyd fans, we would also like to hear what we got wrong on mm-hmm. this. We tried to go as fast as we can because as you know, none of our episodes have gone over 30 minutes, and we've done over 20 episodes, and we kept our promise. If you want to follow us, we're on Twitter at Two Guys One Album, mm-hmm. And please follow us, like us, and rate us on iTunes at Two Guys One Album, and email us Two Guys One Album. Number1album@gmail.com.
Yes, you
did. I cover everything?
That was absolutely perfect. You covered every single aspect of where they can find us. And you can even write us. If you find the address for WGN Radio, that's where we usually podcast out of. So just write us here in Chicago, Illinois. We'd love to hear contact from you. We always get back to every single person
yes.
who writes us. And that's true. That's
we
the
have
one
so
part
far.
That is true.
Everything is true. We're nothing if we're not accurate, Michael. Where can people find out more about you?
You can find me, Michael Heidemann. I'm a host and producer here at WGN Radio. You can find me at michaelheidemann.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at Michael H. and on Instagram at Arthur Fonzarelli. Paul, what about you, my friend?
PaulFComedy.com, on Facebook at Paul F. Comedy, or on Instagram at Paul Farvar, FARAHVAR.
Paul, this was another excellent episode of Two Guys,
One Album. One album.